And it's our final night. The theme of superheroes. But if you bring up my first scripture, if you would, Carlin, Acts chapter 1, verse number 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in all Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I think that's a very powerful piece of scripture. You know, we talk about the theme of superheroes, but how many know the power that works in us goes beyond human power? How many know there's something greater inside of us than he that lives inside the world? Come on. In other words, the power, in other words, we're not talking about a power that comes from your humanity, but we're talking about where the power comes from, and how many know the power comes from the Holy Ghost. And I believe, you know, when he was asking them, you know, the question, they came to Jesus, and five times Jesus gives the Great Commission. And he says to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Let me give you another verse here so we can have a few scriptures to it, and then we'll have them out of the way. Go to my next scripture, if you would, Carl, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them, say he gave them. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He gave them the power. If God's going to do anything in the earth, he's going to do it through his representative. He's going to do it through his people. You know, a lot of times we can sit back and say things like, well, if there's a God, how come this is going on? And if there's a God, why does this happen? But the truth of it is that God puts his man in charge clear back in Genesis. And because man abandoned that post, doesn't mean that, it means that it was left in a mess. But how many know God wants to restore, once again, some sons and daughters back into a place where they operate in the same power? Because I've never read any place after this verse where he ever took that back. So that, you know, I really think that one of the great shifts and one of the things I've appreciated in this camp is we've not had to scare you. We've not tried to manipulate you. We've not tried to get you in these altars through false fears or any of those kinds of things. What we've really done is hold before you a view of God that says he's a great big God. There's a wee little defeated devil, and there's a dead old man, and there's a people in the earth that have the power to change the planet. Come on, how many of there are, we have the power to save the world. With every one of the superheroes, they were out to save the world. And I was thinking this morning, as Gabe was preaching, and he was preaching, and I was thinking of the scripture in Obadiah that says, and saviors, with a big S on the end of it, and saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. And so what he's simply saying is there's a whole bunch of saviors. You know, in other words, I'm so thrilled about what's being declared and preached in these youth camps, because what we're doing is preparing and equipping young people to change the world. And you say, well, you know, I don't know that we can change the world. I think the fact of it is we've already changed the world. And it's changing. In other words, our destiny and our future depends on what we do a lot of times. When I look back at the history of this thing, and I think about the 30-some years that we've done this, you know, when Pastor Roger Legg stood up the other night, he said in 1984, I believe it was, he walked down to church and gave his heart to Jesus. 30-some years later, he's a senior pastor and bringing his young people here to this meeting. And, I mean, there are stories like that everywhere. We've changed the world. There are rappers and sports figures and musicians and people out of business people. I was thinking even last night about, I was thinking, I don't know if they'll get mad at me for telling this or not, but I was thinking about Jeremy and Liza last night. Wave at me, my two kids, my two wonderful kids. Your first youth camp, was you 12, 13, Liza? How old? She snuck in at 11. Was that the year you broke up with Jeremy because you thought he was going to kiss you at the campfire? Now, she's a little bit older than that now. I won't say how old she is, but if you hold the baby up just a minute, she didn't resist a kiss somewhere.
Jeremy 1.
And I'm proud of him, but Liza's a doctor. All these years later, she's a medical doctor. Jeremy's a pastor. We've changed the world. I think about even one generation beyond my generation where we were told we didn't have a future. And when I was in my high school years, they told us, you don't need a high school education. You'll never see the end of the 70s. Jesus will be back. It's all about to come to an end. This is 2014. We're still here. I don't want to get in a fight about eschatology or end time stuff. That's not the point. I'm simply after this, one generation later, in this church, we have doctors, we have plant managers, we have dental hygienists, we have surgical technicians, we have chief financial officers, we have county commissioners, we have teachers, educators, we have musicians, worship leaders, ministries that are now in full-time pastoring. All kinds of pastors that have come out of this ministry. My dad may not have been the greatest preacher on the planet, but he's probably raised more preachers to the ministry than anybody else I know of on the planet. Good preachers. Come on, somebody, help me a little bit. You know why? Because he knew what his gift was, and he'd plug in where he didn't have that gifting and let them develop and make mistakes or whatever it is. So what happens is, because we don't celebrate sometimes what we have right in our midst, they slip through our fingers and they go someplace else and become the great worship leaders, the great preachers, the great singers, the great songwriters. But I suggest we celebrate what we have in the house, and not only will that change. See, I believe we've changed the course of human history. Are you hearing where I'm coming from? I said we're changed the course of human history, and the reality of it is, even just in what we've seen in this meeting, it's hard to tell what has happened, even through the medium of Facebook, Twitter, and the stuff that's happened as people are posting stuff. It literally goes around the globe, and people are impacted by stuff that's happening in this room on the other side of the globe. Touch somebody, say, we can save the world. Because I believe what we are doing is we are raising superpowers. Come on, we're raising superheroes that have giftings. But what we must understand is that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That the excellency of the power is of God and it's not of us. But we have, hallelujah, this room is full of potential miracles looking for a place to happen. Hallelujah. Touch your neighbor and tell him, I'm a blessing looking for a place to happen tonight. Come on, if you don't believe you're a blessing, you'll never be a blessing. But if you'll just realize you are a blessing, we'll happen all over this place tonight. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I believe that we are a blessing. I believe we're powerful people, but we're not that on our own. It's because of what's inside of us. And what Jesus simply says to them in Acts chapter number 1, when they ask him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? This is the fifth time Jesus gives this great commission. He has already told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Make disciples of all nations. Everywhere you go, demonstrate the kingdom. And when you do, you heal the sick, you raise the dead, you cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely you give. Everywhere you go, and when you do that, how many know the kingdom of God continues to expand and it continues to expand? And they would say, Lord, are you going to at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel? And he would say, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. And they would ask him again, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom back to Israel? This is the last time Jesus gives this great commission. But this time he kind of answers their question, because they said, will you at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel? And he says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, but I am going to tell you how it's going to happen. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you. The power is in the Holy Ghost. You know, I think about men like the apostles, Peter, James, John, all these guys that were with Jesus even the night before his decease, and all of them think, you know, Lisa so powerfully preaches a lot about Peter, how Peter the night before, you know, Jesus is crucified, he's like, man, I got your back, Lord. It's, you know, I'll go, I mean, you know, you're my boy, you know, you're my dog, my peeps, you know, my homie. And I'm going to die with you. I think Pete meant that. And Jesus looks at him, he says, man, before the rooster crows, dude, You're going to deny me three times. Because right now you think you can do it. But the truth of it is, you can't do this on your own human strength. Now, I don't know if you know the context of it or not, but John 13, right on the heels of Jesus telling Peter, he said, before the rooster crows, man, you're going to deny me. And then the very next verse, he says, but let not your heart be troubled. In other words, you're going to fail without the Holy Ghost. But see, Jesus goes on to say in the next chapter, it is expedient for you that I go away, because if I don't go, then the Comforter won't come. But if he comes, then greater works than these will you do, because I go to the Father. In other words, Pete, you think you can do this on your own. And you think you can do this with human strength. And you think you can do this with mind over matter. And you think you can do this with positive thinking, with self-esteem. But see, this is bigger than simply self-esteem. This is a revelation of who lives inside of you. And what Jesus was saying to them is, without the power of the Holy Ghost, you might think you can stand, but you're not going to be able to stand. But how many know that when Peter received the Holy Ghost in an upper room, it was after that he stood up and boldly began to preach and said, you by wicked hands have crucified the Lord of glory. And 3,000 people got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, what I'm simply after tonight is that, the scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is the power. And many of you have already been born again. And I'm going to try to make this as simple and as short and sweet as I know how to tonight, just to make it more instructional than I am about preaching. How many of you are born again? Let me just see your hand. You've already asked the Lord into your life. I would just challenge you, if you're not, before this night is over, don't leave this building. And that's not a scare tactic. What I'm simply saying is, man, he doesn't come to take your life. He comes to give you life. Now, religion might try to take your life, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, I came not just so you could go to heaven 75 years from now, or you get a get out of hell free card. He said, I came to give you life, and that more abundantly. God wants to give you the best life on the planet. And I so appreciated what I heard Mark Sanchez say last night. I think we've been guilty of a generation that has cursed an earth that we ought to be declaring and blessing and speaking blessing to and exercising dominion in. And rather than cursing it, we ought to be able to minister to it and have the answer for it, because I believe that the powerful men of God full of the Holy Ghost are going to have answers for political problems, for medical issues. They're going to have answers for all kinds. They're going to write the new songs that are going to absolutely wreck this generation. Because I believe the Holy Ghost still has something. He wants to breathe through the uniqueness of your vessel. And so, if you are already born again, the Bible says to them, the Bible talks about he said, have you received, he went down to this one place and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So if you're already a believer and you've already received Jesus into your life, don't leave here tonight without the power. Are you hearing where I'm coming from? The power, again, doesn't come by human strength. It doesn't come by redoubling your efforts or mind over matter. It comes because the power of the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. Hallelujah. Without him, I can do nothing. There's a whole lot of times. Listen, people think a lot of times they see us preach and minister and they think, that must be really, easy and neat. But I tell people all the time, I've got Belshazzaritis most of the time when I get up. You say, what's Belshazzaritis? Well, Belshazzar had knocking knees and loose bowels. That's Belshazzaritis. You might call it the screaming memes. I thought that's what Dan meant by doggy pile the other night. Because I'm a little old fashioned. But what happens is most of the time I stand up with my knees knocking, waiting on God to come on the scene, because I know that I am incapable of doing anything by myself. The only thing I know for sure that I can do is close in prayer. And I have committed one of them to memory just in case the Holy Ghost don't show up. But so far I've never had to use it yet until real late in the service. But what I want to tell you is that a dependency on the Holy Spirit in everyday life, God is going to give you divine opportunities to see the miraculous. Hallelujah. Look at your hands for a moment. Hold your hands out in front of you. The Bible said that we can lift holy hands. See, these hands right in front of you are holy hands. They're holy because he made you holy. So you can lift one hand without wrath and lift one hand without doubt because you know, come on, that God is going to back you up and you know that God's not angry with you. Come on, somebody. And I believe the reason we've never laid these hands on anybody is nobody ever told us we were holy and that these were holy hands and that God could use me. But I came to tell you, come on, that it's not based again on what you've done. It's based on what he did, and it's based on the power of the Holy Ghost living inside of you, and it's based on a release. You simply being obedient to God in situations where you may think that it is just an accident that you are there, but it may be a divine orchestration of God for you to be in certain situations where you can change the outcome of certain situations. You're a game changer tonight. Hallelujah. This room is full of powerful men, and some of the most powerful people in the world are in this room tonight. Hallelujah. You just don't know it yet. You've just not woke up to the fullness of the power that's in you. Hallelujah. Either that or you've not got the power pill yet. That's the Holy Ghost. And before the night's over, hallelujah, you can receive it before you leave here. It's a gift. God wants to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me just say something very simple about the Holy Ghost. A lot of times people have made it so mystical and so difficult that by the time they're done confusing you, it takes you 2 or 3 years to get it. Because when I was growing up, you didn't know whether to hold on. You didn't know whether to let go. You didn't know whether to let, you know, we'd pray around the altars. And really what we were doing is praying through a lot of unbelief that they taught us. Because they were telling us, God will not dwell in no unclean vessel. You've got to be holy. And back in those days, it meant how you dress, what you look. There's so many rules. And I'm thinking to myself, if I've got to be so holy and perfect to get the Holy Ghost, what do I need the Holy Ghost for? Because when he comes, how many know he reproves the world of sin and he convicts us of righteousness and of judgment. So the Holy Ghost is the one that does the work in changing us. See, this is really not difficult, folks. It's not God putting any demands on you to change. We haven't brought you here to give you a list of rules and a bunch of stuff to delete when you leave here. Don't do this. Stop doing that. Don't do that anymore. What we're simply saying is let the Holy Ghost come in. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Let him do the work in you. Because what happens is we are not entering into a bunch of rules and regulations, but we are entering into a relationship where we yield to what the Holy Spirit wants in our lives and learn how to live out of the Spirit of God. It's that simple. And you know what Lisa says a lot of times, people say here a lot of times, they say, well, is it okay if I do this? Is it okay if I do that? This is my pastor, by the way. And Lisa will say, if you can get it past the Holy Ghost, it's all right with me. But see, the Holy Ghost is more than just a church sheriff. The Holy Ghost is the power of God. It's power. See, what we don't know is a lot of times we've never had an opportunity to release that power because we've always thought it was reserved for glow-in-the-dark preachers. I was on an airplane not very long ago, and I went back to the bathroom on the plane, and I came out of the bathroom. If you've ever been on a plane, you know they're really small. I came out of the bathroom, and I said to the flight attendant, Daniel, I said, do I look like Superman? She said, what? I said, do I look like Superman? She said, what, sir? I said, the last time I stepped into a phone booth like that, I came out with a big S on my chest. And I could jump a tall building with a single bound. I was more powerful than a locomotive and faster than a speeding bullet. She looked at me. She said, you look like Clark Kent to me. Go sit down. Air out of my sails. Hallelujah. I can tell you in one of those situations, though, 33,000 feet in the air, flying to Birmingham, Alabama, me and AJ were together. Some of you know AJ, some of you don't. AJ, you have to experience him. He came from a mob background. His dad was a mob boss. Bobby Kennedy tried his dad. His dad is the first mobster to go down on a RICO act. We sat in first class, and AJ had his headphones on, made it look like he had on a pair of sunglasses. He had them on backwards. His eyes, and we had everybody in first class in stitches laughing. I mean, we were carrying on, and I mean, we had everybody, and we had the flight attendants and stuff just laughing because we laughed our way around the world. I like to have fun. My dad always said about me, he said, the only one I know of can be telling a joke and be prophesying at the same time. And so this flight, so we're cutting up and joking, carrying. We got everybody in first class in stitches. He told the flight attendant that I had stolen his peanuts when, in fact, he had stolen my peanuts. She came back and gave him another pile of peanuts and looked at me like, you hog, how about letting him have some? I said, I didn't steal his peanuts. He stole my peanuts. She sits down on the arm of the chair across from us, and she says, you know, she said, I can usually figure out what people do, you know, when they're on here. I kind of get, you know, she said, I've dealt with so many people, I kind of figure out. She said, but I can't figure you guys out. She said, what do you do? I said, well, you're probably not going to believe this, but I'm a preacher, and he's a jeweler. She said, no, seriously, what do you do? I said, no, really, I'm a preacher. He's a jeweler. He starts sharing his testimony. He said, the Lord delivered me $300 a day in cocaine. I ran bars. And he said, you know, I got all kinds of stuff. He starts sharing his testimony with this flight attendant. She looks at him. All of a sudden, her countenance changes. She said, well, you're not going to believe this. But she said, there's a girl back there on row 24 that is in acute withdrawal. And she's flying from Pittsburgh to Birmingham to get into a rehab program. She's been addicted to this, I think it was heroin she was addicted to, crack. I'm not sure exactly which one it was, but AJ just told her how he got delivered. She said, we were just standing in the back of the plane. Now, remember, we got him in stitches 5 minutes ago. And so this flight attendant says, well, she said, this is ironic. She said, we were just standing in the back of the plane among the rest of the flight attendants, say, we need, you know, a priest or a counselor or, you know, a preacher or somebody to go back and kind of talk to this girl because she didn't get any methadone to help her kind of come off of this high. And she is back there in acute withdrawal. She said, would you all mind going back and talking with her a little bit? I said, yeah, we'd do it. I said, but go back and see if she wants us to, because sometimes people, you know, don't really want ministry, but ask her if she would welcome, you know, if she wanted ministry, we'd come back. She comes back up. The girl said she would welcome it. So we get up and start back through the curtain to first class, back into the cabin, and the rest of the passenger are going, thank God those doctors are here. Hallelujah. They're just glad somebody come back. But on the way back, halfway back the aisle, the Holy Ghost hit me. About where it hits you, about right here and right here at the bottom in the middle, don't move. And you get that little jerk on you, the more you try to fight it, the worse it gets on you. I know some of you say, I'll never do that. God just took that as a personal challenge. Hallelujah. And so, man, the Holy Ghost started speaking to me about this girl on the way back. And when I got back to her aisle, I leaned over and took her by the hand. And when I did, I started to prophesy to her. I said, honey, the Lord showed me you was a daughter of a pastor. And I started prophesying to this girl. And AJ's over on the other side ministering to her. This girl gets saved and filled with the Holy Ghost at 33,000 feet in the air. And we're back there on row 23, Shundai, Hukama Shine, and talking in tongues. And everybody's saying, they must be foreign doctors. Hallelujah. Divine opportunities. Come on, somebody. Help me a little bit. I said divine opportunities. See, I ain't just talking about me. I'm talking about everybody in this room. You never know when you might come up on something, and you're the only one in that place that can change the outcome. But we're game changers tonight. We're world changers. A Savior shall come up on Mount Zion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This girl gets saved. She gets delivered. I mean, we're having a Holy Ghost time. When we start to land, I looked out the window. There is ambulances and fire trucks. And I'm thinking to myself, there must have been an airplane crashed. Sure enough, they was waiting on us. Now, they wasn't telling the people down at the airport what was going on this plane, so they're all up and concerned because their loved ones is on this airplane. And Jimmy Carrier is sitting there waiting on us to come in. He steals the crowd in the airport. He said, don't worry about it, folks. My boys are on the plane. Everything will be all right. Hallelujah. Sure enough, they come to get her in the gurney, and here came me and Dr. Zambito right alongside the gurney when he brought her. Hallelujah. When we got back to the airport the next day, or the following, you know, 3 days later when the meeting was over, I walked up to the counter, threw my ticket up on the counter, and the lady, they must have put something in the computer about us. Because the lady working the counter, she says, well, she said, Mr. House, she said, I can see that you've done a lot to help U.S. Airways out. Would you and Mr. Zambito like to sit in first class? I said, I think I would. But this time, he is not stealing my peanuts, or I'm going to slap him. Now, let me just say to you that the power of the Holy Ghost is what does the job. They are gifts. I want to come back in a moment, talk about grace gifts, but I want to tell you the simplicity of this. When I was growing up, it was so difficult to get it, because what we thought happened was that the Holy Ghost would hit you, you'd black completely out. God would grab your tongue and just give it a whoosh. And when you came to, somebody would tell you, you got filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not saying you won't hit the floor. I ain't saying you won't get a Holy Ghost buzz on. Now, y'all looking at me funny because you must have never had a Holy Ghost buzz. Now, the boys at Acts got a Holy Ghost buzz because Pete said, these guys are not drunk like you think they are. He didn't deny the fact. We had some ladies almost got arrested in Ohio one night, left our meeting, got arrested, stopped by the state police, blue-haired ladies, not young people, blue-haired ladies, got stopped by the state police for driving under the influence. And me and the pastor stopped to get them out of trouble, and the trooper looks at them, and they're in there just cackling and shundying and talking in tongues, just left our meetings. After that meeting, I coined a phrase, friends, don't let friends come to my meeting and drive. You may need to bring a sinner with you just so you can get home safe. Somebody's going to sit in the car and wait. Of course, the Holy Ghost will slip out there and get him. Come on, somebody, help me a little bit. And the pastor and I said to the trooper, we said, look, these women, how do you explain this? Are not drunk as you suppose. He said, look, I don't smell nothing, but it is evident to me that these women are under the influence of some kind of a controlled substance. And I'm thinking to myself, if you think you can control it, you ought to try it. Now, I don't think they should have been driving. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But what I'm trying to get you to see is, man, I'm telling you, you ain't lost nothing by serving Jesus. Hallelujah. Because when you get up in the morning, you're going to be a different person with something living inside of you that ain't just going to be a hangover. Come on. It might hang over all right, but it's going to hang over in a good way, because you're going to leave here empowered. You will be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. And what I begin to realize is they would say to us, well, what's going to happen is that it's just going to hit you, and you're going to wake up and somebody's going to tell you you got the Holy Ghost. No, see, the Bible says that there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat on them. And the Bible said, and they, listen to me, this is probably the most key thing I can tell you tonight. And they spake, say that, and they spake. That means God ain't going to do it for you. And they spake with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. What will happen is that when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will feel the presence of God. You begin to praise Him in English, and all of a sudden, words are going to start coming to you. Your chin may quiver. You might get stammering lips. But what you have to do, it's like a bicycle that's a gift. God gives you something, you got to get on it and ride it. In other words, when the words come to your head and they come to your mind, you got to speak what the Holy Ghost is giving you. He gives you the utterance, you do the speaking. I'm going to tell you, this is simple to me. This is good stuff that probably, I think, even adults don't know a lot of times. That's how all the gifts of the Spirit work, whether it's prophecy, word of knowledge, healings. Am I talking right, brothers? Come on. Most of the time, it's not audible voices we hear. It's God starting to give us thoughts that are coming from heaven's throne. And you start to say, well, I may only have one or two words. I may just have a word or two. And once I open my mouth and start to speak, God starts to give me more. What I'm trying to tell you is I believe God wants to activate not only the Holy Ghost, but the gifts of the Spirit inside of a bunch of young people, because I'm telling you, we're game changers. And I could tell you a story. Last year, I guess it was, I was really struggling with some stuff in my body. Went to a meeting down in Huntington, West Virginia, actually down near where Brooke goes to school. And I wasn't preaching on Sunday night. One of the pastors that I know near us calls me on the phone at the hotel. He said, "What you doing tonight?" I said, "Well, I don't have a meeting tonight. I had to preach this morning." He said, "Why don't you just come over and hang out with us?" He said, "I got this crazy evangelist in my church that preaches barefooted." And when I went over, man, this guy looked like a Rastafarian, you know, a Rastama, you know what I mean? Jamaica Rastaman. He was matted hair, barefooted, looked like he just, I don't know, looked a little bit like you with flip-flops. Just checking your shoes. And that dude, man, started preaching. And he said, "I want about 12 of you young people to come up here, 12-year-olds. He said, "I'm going to lay hands on you, stir up the gift of God that's in you, and then I want you to find somebody to lay hands on." I locked eyes. This 12-year-old kid, they laid hands on. I'm sitting there fighting something physical in my body. The man of faith and power for the hour on ibuprofen with my precious Jesus face on. What I'm trying to show you is we all have needs. What I'm saying is the body has to function. But this little kid looks at me. And when he did, he locked eyes with me. He started towards me. I knew when he got to me, I was going to get healed. I knew before he got there, I was. He laid his hand on me, and when he did, the pain left my body immediately. Now, what was crazy about that is the week before that, I was in a location where they were teaching their people, you never lay hands on anybody that's above you in the Lord. It's disrespectful. That's just stupid. There is no little Holy Ghost. And there are many weak and sickly among us, not because God hasn't provided everything we need, but because we don't discern the Lord's body. And I could talk all kinds of theological things, but I'm after something tonight, what Gabe hit on this morning when he was talking about, what was that, the justice team, that it's not individual, it's a team. How many know God's got a team? Come on, somebody. Not everybody's got the same gift. And you know what? You may be sitting in this room tonight, and your obedience, somebody will get healed before you leave here tonight, because it's that simple. God places it in the body when we start to function like a body ought to. I get healed by a 12-year-old kid, come on, and I'm a glow-in-the-dark evangelist. But see, I'm humble enough to say I don't care who touches me. Come on, somebody. I'm not about the formulas. I'm not about all the stuff that goes with it. I just want to see God move, and your very life may depend on it. Whether we let God move or not may depend on, come on, whether or not we live or not. Many are weak and sickly, not because God doesn't want to do it, but because we don't discern the Lord's body. I got a friend in Hawaii, Joyce, and I go down there. Hallelujah, we suffer for Jesus in January every year. And we go down to this guy who has raised 22 people from the dead. The last one he raised from the dead was a little girl that had been in the morgue for 5 hours. They had already begun to make funeral arrangements for her, and he went in and laid down beside her till she got warm. And literally, Ray, he said, when she come to, he said, scared her to death, man. She looked at his big kahunas laying there beside of her on the slab in the morgue. And he said to me, "Brother Housie," he said, "I had some guys come down here and preach against the way I do it." And what he said, "You know, I do it from a style of deliverance." And so I said to him, "What do you mean?" And so he's telling me how he does it. And I said, "Here's the deal. That little girl and her parents don't care what I think about it. They don't care about my theological ideas or if my formulas are right. Because, see, God honors us even when our formulas are not right. He honors hearts and not so much formulas. Come on, he's just looking for somebody that's got the guts to do something. You say, what if it don't work? What if it does? See, if you can't take the credit for it when God heals somebody, you don't also can't take the credit when or the failure or the blame when he does it. Come on, how many know we got to cast the care on him and simply become obedient and let God, he's the one that does the healing. He's the one that's got the power. He's the one that gives the gifting. He's the one that releases the glory. And in an atmosphere of praise and worship, miracles can take place as people get obedient to the Lord. First step is simply receiving the Holy Ghost. And I've said this and I'm wrapping it up. I was driving to South Carolina this year and the Lord has really kind of put this on my heart. And I'm driving down to South Carolina, and the Lord says to me, "Son, I was thinking about the gifts of the Spirit," which, interestingly enough, are in the chapter right after where he says, "You don't discern the Lord's body." And then he comes in and says, do all have this gift? Do all have that gift? And talks about the body and how the body functions. And I'm driving down the road, and the Lord simply says to me, he says to me, son, they are grace gifts. You really changed. Are you Clark Kent? Superman. Hallelujah. See what I'm saying? How I changed this guy. He's clean shaven now. He looks holy. And the Lord said to me, let me come back and finish. The Lord said to me, they're grace gifts. I said, I know, Lord. He said, no, you're not hearing me, son. He said, they're grace gifts. I said, I know, Lord. I know they're grace. He said, no, you're not hearing me. You know, how many of you hear it through your paradigm sometimes? He said, they're grace gifts. So I get to the hotel, and I look up the word for gift in Corinthians, where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And sure enough, it's the Greek word charisma or charismata, which we translate grace. They are grace gifts. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, I don't do it because of you. I do it in spite of you sometimes. I'm just trying to be really real, because this is the stuff that makes people kind of push on over that brink of thinking they got to wait till they grow in the dark before God uses them. And I'm sitting there thinking, they're grace gifts. How many have ever seen somebody that you thought, my God, how could that man of God that what we call had a fall or whatever, we start thinking, was any of it real? The answer to that is, yes, it was real. It was a grace gift. God didn't do it because they glow in the dark, because from this pulpit to the door, we all need help. And if we're going to wait till we glow in the dark, ain't nobody going to get used of God. Because what I've seen, and I'm just being brutally honest tonight, is there have been times when I was on my way to church. It is not the best day I've ever had, Daniel. Everything I owned was broke down. The kids was fussing. Come on with me. Hallelujah. You and the wife fought all the way to service. Come on, you've cussed and you fussed. Oh, y'all looking at me funny. And you walk through the door. Now, I hadn't read your Bible for 2 weeks, nor have you fasted or prayed. You've not done 10 Hail Marys and 15 push-ups. And you walk through the door. You just threaten to kill the kids. Don't make me pull this car over. You don't want me to pull this car over. And you walk through the door, and you put on your precious Jesus face. God bless you. Bless coming in, bless going out. I'm highly favored. I'm anointed. And your wife is thinking, you hypocrite. You're thinking it yourself. Don't worry about the wife. Come on. And you get in the service and you're thinking, I hope we just get through this. And the Spirit of God start to move. And Unified City Band starts to play a worship song, and God starts to move on you. And you're like, God, you might want to use Daniel tonight. Because evidently you didn't see the day I've had. Shandai. Come on. I'm just trying to be really transparent tonight. Now, I'm not saying it's okay to act like that, because what ought to happen is the goodness of God ought to lead us to repent and say, Lord, forgive me for being like that. Help me to have my stuff together tomorrow. But the Holy Ghost got to help you with that too. See, what I'm trying to tell you is God is requiring nothing of you and giving you everything. It's about supply under grace. The law demands grace supplies. God gives you the ability. It's a God ability. It's a gift. It is a charisma. It has nothing to do with what you did. And what happens is God will absolutely show up and show off through you that night. You will preach a masterpiece. You'll prophesy to everybody in the house. And God will use you like he didn't use you when you fasted and prayed and glowed in the dark. What's up with that? Am I saying you shouldn't pray? No, I'm just trying to tell you it's a grace gift. And I share this everywhere, but I love to sit on the platform and watch moms in the service. Moms are the coolest thing I've ever seen in a service. They're like this. Got the kids all lined up. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, I love you, Lord. It's wonderful, Jesus. Thank you. Lord, you are good. Thank you, Jesus. It's a grace gift. I said it's a grace gift. See, I'm just letting you in on the secrets. God can use you when you hadn't had the best day. God can fill you with the Holy Ghost when you ain't got it all together. Matter of fact, that's when he wants to do it, because that's what helps you get it all together. And what will happen, come on, is the more you let him do the work in you, the more he'll change you, the more, come on, hallelujah. But see, I'm going to tell you, God doesn't do it because of us. He does it in spite of us. It's a grace gift. It's because God is good, and God is good all the time. He's good, come on, when you're good. He's good when you're bad. Hallelujah. My other little granddaughter came in the house the other day, and she was singing, he's making a list, checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. He knows when you are sleeping. I'm thinking, how did he get in my room? He knows when you're awake. And her whole concept about God is, if you're good, you're going to get a present. If you're bad, you get a bundle of sticks and a bag of coal, which in the hills of West Virginia can still be a gift. A truckload of wood and, come on, a truckload of wood and half a ton of coal goes a long way. Come on, come on. Am I suggesting God doesn't want to touch our lives and changes our behavior? Not at all. I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm not suggesting we ought to act like we're idiots or. Hallelujah. Grace gifts. I want you to get ready to come back, because I'm done preaching. See there? I told you it wouldn't be too long. I didn't do bad, did I? But you know, tonight's the last night. It's the last full night. I think it's kind of wet at the campfire anyway. If you don't know Jesus tonight, first of all, let me just say this to you. Come on, stand on your feet all over this room tonight. I believe serving Jesus, I really do believe it is a blast. It is the best life on the planet, man. I'm enjoying the journey. That's why I'm still jumping off the stage at age 56. And I got to get some big old boys to catch me. If they ever drop me, it's my last year. But I believe if the prodigal son's older brother would have had a party, the younger son, prodigal, would have never left home looking for one. And I believe that one of the things I saw, especially throughout the New Testament, is with the apostles, is they didn't even use the fear tactics to get people saved. Now, I'm not suggesting there's not a hell. I'm simply saying that you don't see the apostles mention very little at all about it, if they mention it at all. Very little. Because they didn't have to scare people to get them saved. They demonstrated the power of God. People came to Jesus and said, what must I do to be saved? See, I believe what God wants to restore back to the church is a demonstration of the power. And you won't have to scare nobody no more. It'll be such a good God. Everybody's saying, hey, let me in on this. So if you're not saved tonight, if you haven't asked the Lord, if you've not received Jesus, let me put it this way. If you've not received him as your personal Savior, he's the Savior of the world and it's paid for. But I still believe you have to receive it. You got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. It's that simple. Hallelujah. So if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, the first thing I want to do is give opportunity for you to receive the Lord. Can I get some of you brothers to come stand with me, some of you men and women of God that want to help me tonight in the ministry in the altars? And because I believe that some of these young folks are going to get filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. If you're here tonight and you've not been filled with the Holy Ghost, tonight I believe is your night. Don't leave here without the power. Don't leave here without your Superman cape. Don't leave here without the wind beneath your wings. Don't leave here without the power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you. And what's so cool about God is he puts it in earthen vessels that just don't look like it all be powerful. Hallelujah. But if you're here tonight and you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to go ahead and step out of your seat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You men of God going to help me pray? Or you want to receive the Holy Ghost? You want to receive it? Why don't y'all stand facing this way and let me just... Hallelujah. I like it when they don't wait around. Who wants the power? Who wants the power? Who wants to receive the power? If you want to receive the power tonight, I want you to come out and get in this line tonight. Now, especially to this side. Let's get in this side for the power. If you don't know Jesus, I want to give opportunity over on this side for people that need to come to Jesus to step. If you want to receive Jesus into your life, you said, you know what? I want this life. I want this quality of life. I want you to go over to this side and let these guys, if you've not received Jesus as your personal Savior, I want you to go over on this side. And this is the Holy Ghost side over here. If we don't get anybody over here, we'll spread them out over here. Hallelujah. We don't believe you lose your salvation that easy, so we need... Hallelujah. 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 Before we begin to sing tonight, is there anybody that doesn't know the Lord as their personal Savior and you want to step to this side and let these guys minister to you? Don't leave here tonight without the presence of God in your life. Once again, he doesn't come to take anything from you. He comes to give you life. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there one, before we go on laying hands on these folks to receive the Holy Ghost, is there one? Of course, you can, you know, as the Lord deals with you and you feel like you need to come later, just tell somebody that's what you need. But now I guess we can spread out on this side too also if you need to receive the Holy Spirit. I want you to just kind of spread out and get to where some of these folks can, some of you folks that know how to pray and help people receive the Holy Ghost, just remember what I told you. What will happen is the presence of God will come upon you. The Spirit of God will rise up inside of you. It will come up on you. It'll come out. It won't come down, down, down. It'll stir up inside of you, and you'll feel something start to stir up. The first thing you have to do is open your mouth, and you've got to praise him. And if you're afraid to praise him in an unknown language at first, just praise him in English. Just begin to praise him in English. And as you begin to praise him in English, as he begins to give you utterance and you feel the presence of God stirring in you, it'll be like a dam breaking. It'll start to flow out of you. Once you get that first word, you get the faith to go ahead and take that step and speak as the Spirit gives you utterance, it'll just break and flow like a dam, and a river will flow out of you. Hallelujah. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Go ahead and sing something as we begin to pray. Just lift your hands all over this room and just receive. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, guys, just begin to help some of these. If you feel like you need to kneel, it's all right. If you feel like you want to help these folks pray, those of you that have already got the Holy Ghost, come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
So this is love. Your cross was enough, and your death was enough to send me free. So this is love. Your cross was enough, and your death was enough to send me free. So this is love, and your cross was enough, and your death was enough.
Hallelujah.
To send me free. So this is. Your death was enough. Rise up.